This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
In heavenly places this morning. Heavenly Father, we give you praise. Thank you because you are a good God. Thank you because your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you that your word goes forth and does not return to you void. We thank you that today your word shall be declared in the name of Jesus. Without interruption, your word will be declared. In the name of Jesus, without excuse, your word shall be declared. In the name of Jesus, the people, Lord, prepare their ears. Prepare their hearts to receive your word this morning. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, oh God. And at the end of the day, take all the glory in Jesus' name. And the people of God say, amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, it is all about Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, it is all about Jesus. Let them know nothing else but Jesus. You know, Moses and Elijah and Isaiah and all of those people, they all prophesied about the one man, Jesus. They prophesied concerning this person, Jesus. Amen. Isaiah did exactly that. Moses, in fact, a lot of the things that we see in the lives of these great men of God, these prophets, a lot of their lives were allegories of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. They were parables. They were like a sign. They were like a description of the soon coming king in their time. They did an outstanding job. In fact, most of them did so well, like David. David prophesied in Psalm 22. Most of Psalm 22 is a depiction of the crucifixion. So did Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied also about the crucifixion. He said he was wounded. In fact, Isaiah is one of my favorites because he prophesied as though he was there. He prophesied as though it is happening right now. He said he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. He was talking as though it had already happened. And yet Jesus had not even happened yet. These great men of God did an outstanding job. And in this process, we understand that they were telling us and prophesying about Christ. Praise God. There are things that they have said, and we realize that these things that they have said have come to pass. Was he not wounded for our transgressions? Was he not bruised for our iniquities? Was the chastisement of our peace was not upon him? Are we not healed by his stripes? The things that these forefathers, these fathers prophesied has come to pass. Say to your neighbor, she's going somewhere with this. Say to your other neighbors, wait for it. She's going somewhere. They have prophesied about things that have already come to pass. This morning, and that's why I'm celebrating the choir, because a lot of the things that we do, we are not aligning them with scripture to see whether it is correct. Brethren, I'm here to encourage you that anytime somebody holds the mic and they say that they are prophesying or they are preaching the word of God as I am now, don't take my word for it by itself. But the Bible says you should look in the scriptures to make sure that what you are hearing is in line with scripture. And that goes for anything else. If we are going to listen to anything, or we're going to say anything, or somebody is preaching, we must make sure not just sitting down eating of the fruit that you know is not, or maybe you don't know, that is of God, but you must test it. You must prove it by the word of God. Because if it's not in the word of God, then it's just emotion. Praise God. We sang that song this morning, and we realized that we're singing some of the songs that we sing, we're singing in error. We are singing the songs, some of the songs, we are singing it in error. Now, what I've realized about music is that music is a very powerful thing. Music can move people. If that is not, look, you don't have to be in church for music to move you. I have seen on television in the days of Michael Jackson, when he's singing, people are weeping and they're trembling. Because music has a way of moving our emotion. It doesn't mean it's right. It doesn't mean it's right. If that's not enough for you, there are music that are worldly music that when you step into a store, they're singing a song maybe from your past, and that song drops into your spirit, and you didn't even know while you were in HEB that the song has already dropped. Just like they say, the album dropped, the song has dropped in your spirit. And so when you come out of HEB and you're somewhere else, maybe you're in church, and then the tune comes into your mind, and you're like, what in the devil's name? The blood of, and you start saying all kinds of stuff. Oh, we start saying all kinds of Christianese. It lets us know the power of music. One of the songs that we sang this morning, and we were singing it, we were like, these are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. But my question this morning is, how can these days, how can these be the days of Elijah when the scriptures has been fulfilled? Elijah prophesied about the king. Elijah, Moses, Isaiah, they prophesied about a king. They made a prophecy that has come to pass. Do I hear amen? And we say that these are the days of Elijah. And we say, these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. Yes, righteousness was restored in the days of Moses. But you cannot compare the restoration of righteousness in the days of Moses to the righteousness that was restored in this day. How? How? The righteousness of Moses, the law of Moses in the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus, chapter 16 to be exact, talks about, you can read it at home, how the priest goes into the holiest place once a year. It's called the Day of Atonement. Once a year, he goes into this place and he has to take rams and bullock and make a sacrifice for the sin of himself and the people once a year. That was how righteousness was restored in the days of Moses. But the days that we are in now, the days that we have right now, we cannot compare it and say it's like the days, or these are the days of Moses. If we're saying that these are the days of Moses, we're saying that what Christ did is just as good as a bull. But I know, without a shadow of a doubt, because my Bible tells me so, that the blood of Jesus is superior to the blood of bulls. Do I hear an amen in the house? If we are saying that righteousness is being restored, the Bible talks about in the book of Matthew, that's the one I want us to look at first. You can read Leviticus at home, Leviticus 16, and it will tell you how they have to go behind the curtain once a year into the holiest of holy to make sacrifice in the presence of God. But the Bible said in the book of Matthew chapter number 27, verse 50. We're going to read 50 through 51. It says, Can you please put it up? Matthew chapter 27, 50 and 51. Praise God. It says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. That means he died. This was, you know, I don't want to read the whole thing. He's on the cross already. He had suffered. He asked for something to drink. They gave him vinegar and all of that and all of that. And now here we are. And it says, and behold, the veil. After he gave up the ghost, the Bible said that this veil in the days of Moses, that only once a year they can go behind it to make sacrifice. Every year they got to do the same thing. But this is letting us know that, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. That means that once and for all, somebody say once and for all. Once and for all, Jesus made that sacrifice. There is no need for any other sacrifice anymore. Whereas in the days of Moses, they had to do it on a yearly basis. Every sin that is piled up, they got to go, and the priest goes and does his own first, and then he does. But this is saying that when Jesus died on Calvary, hallelujah, the tent that the holiest of holy, people cannot go there. Jesus made it go all the way to the ground. That means access. That means at any point in time, you can go into the holiest of holy. In fact, as we mentioned and we've been talking about the glory is inside of you now. The glory is not a place we mentioned that you go to. So how can we say that these are the days of Moses? It cannot be, because Moses himself prophesied about the king that has already come. Somebody say he has already come. Somebody say he has already come. Said these are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword. Still, careful with words, and I want you to pay attention to the words. Still, we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. From what I understand from scripture, we're not preparing for the ye of the way of the Lord. Jesus has already come. Do I hear an amen? Jesus has come already. We sing in words like, prepare ye the way. We are going back and we are living in the past. And when we live in the past, we're saying what Jesus did for us is not relevant. I don't know if somebody's getting me this morning. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Matthew chapter 3, this, what we are prophesying, is not a prophecy. It's irrelevant. Why? Because we're saying something that has already happened. It was relevant for the person who said it first. Let's look at it. It says, in those days came John the Baptist. In those days. Not in these days. The word to that song says, what? What did that the word say? It says, there's still a voice in the desert crying. Still, listen to the words of the song. The song says, still, we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. But this scripture, this is talking about John the Baptist, says, I don't need the song. I'll read the song, praise God. A lot of people, they've been singing it since they were babies. They know the words. It's the scriptures that I would like for you to please put up here. Praise God. It says, in those days, I'm making a comparison here. That song says, still, we are a voice in the desert crying, prepare you the way of the Lord. But this scripture says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Let's go to verse 2. And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let's see 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Elijah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptist already did that. Praise the name of Jesus. John the Baptist was in the wilderness before Christ came. And he was saying to the people, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The Lord is coming. And he was doing all of that. So how can we still be saying and we're expecting, prepare ye the way of the Lord? The Lord, this scripture has been fulfilled. If it was not fulfilled, that means you and I don't have salvation. If we are still saying these words, we are like those that are still waiting for the Messiah. Oh, it's too quiet in this church this morning. If we say this, then we are like those that are still waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Salvation has already come. And if we look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3 says, and every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ is come. Stop there. It says, we're going to read it again. And every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ is come is the flesh and is not of God. And that is that spirit of the Antichrist. Praise the name of Jesus. I started to look at the word of God in a different light. I feel like I just became born again. Because the words of the Lord that I am reading in this day and age, now in the season of my life, I'm realizing that the word of God is coming to life even before my very eyes. And so because of that, I am able to see that no, there's something wrong with this, what we've been saying. There's something wrong with this, what we have been saying. A lot of people do not realize that when you are saying these things, it's like you're telling Christ that, hey, you've done it, but I'm still waiting for another. Which way are we still preparing? Who is coming? The final Adam, the last Adam has come. Jesus Christ has already paid for it. And we cannot continue to say that these are the days of Moses. Moses desired to know and see and be in this dispensation like we are in. Elijah, the Bible says, is a mere man like us. And so how is it that we are saying that these are the days of the people that prophesied? You know, when you prophesy, because I prophesy a lot, I'm able to understand what I'm about to tell you here. If I'm prophesying over somebody's life, it's not only the person that is wishing and hoping that this prophecy will come to pass. Even me that prophesied it, I'm hoping, and I'm looking at them. I'm like, wow, I'm looking forward to this prophecy coming to pass. That was what Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, David, and all the prophets, they were in anticipation. They prophesied it. They saw it. They were able to see it. Yet, they did not experience the things that we are experiencing in this day and age. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. It says, verily, I want you to pay attention to this. This is really important to me. It says, verily I say unto you, amongst them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Let's stop there for a second. This is what Jesus was letting us know. That out of all the prophets, so Jesus, we can say that besides Jesus, John the Baptist was the last prophet that prophesied about the coming of Christ. And Jesus is letting us know in this scripture that every other prophet that was born of a woman, maybe if you're born of an animal, I don't know. But he's saying every other prophet that was born of a woman, there is none greater. That means he is saying that John the Baptist is greater than Moses. With all of his, you know what I'm saying, all of his leading out of Egypt, everything. Jesus is saying that John the Baptist is greater than him. And then he said he's greater than Elijah. Elijah raised the dead. And here they're saying that John the Baptist is greater than Elijah. And I began to ask the Holy Spirit, Dr. Buddy, how is that possible? That Jesus is saying that John the Baptist is greater than all the other prophets. And so I realized that what is happening then is also still happening now. Miracles. We are so much more focused about miracles. We will go to where miracles is happening. Doesn't matter how far we have to drive. Because we are chasing miracles instead of chasing the word of God and the revelation of the Jesus that has come. There is no other greater thing in this life than to understand the salvation of Jesus and the teaching. Everything that we do, it is focused and directed to Jesus. It is all about Jesus. There is no other message. There is no other solution anywhere else. It is only Jesus. And so I was asking the Holy Spirit, a man that raised the dead, he did miracles. This dude is just in the wilderness and he's making noise and he's acting like a madman. He didn't wear clothes. He's eating locusts. He's eating honey. And there is another man that lived before him that was raising the dead and making sure the fruit of the womb was coming and all of these things. I said, Holy Spirit, how is it possible that you are saying that John the Baptist is greater than them? And then listen. It says, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, meaning John the Baptist. So what Jesus is saying is, you and I, we are good. Look at the progress that Jesus was telling us. He said, John the Baptist is greater than any other prophet that you know. Any of them. John the Baptist is greater. And that now you are greater than John the Baptist. The least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. So I said, Holy Spirit, how is it that John the Baptist is the greatest out of all the other prophets? And I realized that John the Baptist was the one that understood and was saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. John the Baptist was the one that was able to recognize that Jesus is Jesus. Praise God. All the other prophets, they tried to say it. They tried to get, yes, he was wounded and he was this, and they were seeing it in bits and pieces, because when you're prophesying, you're not showing the whole picture. Praise God. You're only seeing bits and pieces. I understand that because I prophesy. And sometimes I just let them know, I'm seeing this. I don't know what it means. I'm seeing this. I don't know exactly what this means. Don't ask me for an interpretation, because the Lord is not giving me. I can only prophesy what he gives me. And so I can understand. But in the case of John the Baptist, he recognized Jesus even from the womb. We're too quiet this morning. Do I hear amen? Amen. John the Baptist recognized Jesus from the womb, because the Bible says that when Elizabeth was pregnant and Mary went to visit, they were both pregnant. Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and the Bible says that the baby in her womb quickened, because this man named John was able to recognize Jesus from the womb. And then when Jesus walked up to him, he was able to recognize that this was Jesus, the one that you are talking about, that we have been waiting for, the one that we have been waiting for, the ones that the other prophets have prophesied. He was able to behold Jesus with his eyes. How much? Of course, he's the greatest. Of course, he is the greatest, because it is all about the revelation of Christ. It's not about miracles. If you have the revelation of Christ, miracles will follow you. Signs and wonders will follow you. But the greatest thing in the kingdom is to be able to recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus said, amongst all of the prophets, this one is the greatest. And so I went now to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Matthew chapter 3. Now, this is John the Baptist talking. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. This is John the Baptist talking. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier. Now, this is the same John the Baptist that Jesus said is the greatest. Can you now understand how he is great? Because he's able to recognize that this one is mightier than me. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He said this before Jesus told us that he's the greatest. Somebody, are we in the house? Praise God. Jesus said, John the Baptist already said this before Jesus said that he is the greatest. Why? Because he had revelation of the King. He had revelation of the Messiah. When we have revelation, when we have the Spirit of the Lord, we are, and Jesus mentioned that we are greater than all the prophets, John the Baptist, and all of them put together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, the scripture in Hebrews 11:39, but I want us to please start from 32. So let's start with 32. Actually, Hebrews 11:32, we're going to go all the way to 40. Hebrews 11:32. This is talking about the prophets. It says, and what shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and the prophets. Let's continue. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, mentioned all the great things that they did, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the enemies of the aliens, verse 35. Women received their dead, raised to life again by these same prophets, and others were tormented, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mocking and scorning, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute. John the Baptist is all in the mix of all of that too. Afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the desert and in mountains, still talking about the prophets, and dens and caves of the earth. That's David. Let's continue reading. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. With all that they did, with everything they did, it is not, they are, all that they did is a story and a prophecy that is leading to the one we're supposed to be looking up to the one that we're supposed to understand is our Messiah. Because they said, with all that they did, go back, 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now 40. God having provided some better things for who? They didn't receive the promise. But God having provided some better things for who? That day without who? Am I making this up? Is this maybe I had a connection with technical? So at this time, maybe you better pull up your phone and outline it so that when you're quoting it for somebody else, you know for real that I didn't make it up, but it was in the Word of God. I want us to read that again. God, having provided some better things for who? Provided better things for who? That they without, they that are gone, all those mighty things, they without us should not be made. And yet, some are saying, I want to be like Elijah. Some are saying, I want to be like Moses. Some are saying, I want to be like Isaiah. How can you want to be like them when they need us? Without us, they didn't receive the promise. You want to be like them? It is an insult to the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary. To say we want to be like Elijah. Elijah, sir, wants to be like me. Elijah wants to be like you. Why? Because you received the promise. The promise that you will, instead of death, receive life. Instead of pain, receive painless. I don't know. Instead of disease, receive healing. And we say we want to be like Elijah. And we say we want to be like Moses. And we say we want to be like David. All these people are nothing compared to the one that has bought you with a price. I'm not saying that we cannot learn from them. I'm not saying we cannot reference them. But we cannot say when we have Christ Jesus, the hope of glory, we cannot say we want to be like Elijah. Do I hear an amen in the house? Is this too much for everybody this morning? Praise the name of Jesus. You know, Romans chapter 8 verse 16 says, Romans chapter 8 verse 16 says that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are what? We are not servants. Elijah was a servant of God. Moses was a servant of God. But because Christ Jesus died and gave you part of his inheritance, you are not a servant, but you are sons of God. And the Bible is letting us know that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. Now, no matter how much Moses can go and say or can be said about Moses, we cannot say he was a son of God because he did not have Christ. He was a servant. We are servants too. But there is something and there is an edge that we have that is superior to them that was. And we read it in scripture. We are not just servants, but we are sons. We are joint heirs with the Father because Jesus took away the sin of the world and made us to be restored back to what we were and what we lost with Adam. Do I hear an amen in the house? When we say that we want to be like somebody, it should not be those that did not receive the promise. We have the promise, amen. The Bible says, and we've been looking at that Ephesians, it says that the glory of the Lord is inside of us. They could not say that about themselves. So if we want to be like anybody, don't be like me even. Don't be like me and say, oh, I want to be like. We should try to be like Christ because Christ in us is the hope of glory. Don't try to be like anybody. Don't try to be like Elijah, Moses. Don't try to be like anybody. The only person we should be looking for or looking at is who? Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, but the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Acts 17, 28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being. So if we have all of these promises, and Christ has given us this promise, how then should we continue to say that these are the days of Elijah? I want to let you know this morning, brethren, that these are not the days of Elijah. And I want you to tell your neighbor, these are not the days of Elijah. But these are the days of the sons of God to be manifested. If you understood who you are and what you carry. See, if you do not know that you have $1 million that was given to you by a lady that you took care of. You know, she was in hospice and you took care of her in her last days. And she gave you, she decided, well, her children, they didn't really do anything for her. So she's going to will this money to you. So she wills the money to you. She spoke to her lawyer, and she wills the money to you. And so the only person that knows about it is the other nurse that worked the night shift that said that, hey, please tell. Before she passed out, she said your name, that they should call the lawyer. Now, because they didn't put her name, and there is no way she can put her name because it's the lawyer that made the will, she's pissed off. And so she didn't let you know that you have been willed $1 million. So you come to work that morning, because she worked the night shift, and the woman was tell Joyce that she million, and then she passed. And she gave her the card that, call this lawyer, praise God. And so you come on the day shift, and you just realize that the mama is gone, and you're weeping, and you're just devastated, and you go back home still working 9 to 5. And you had no idea that you have been given $1 million. Do I hear an amen in the house? If you don't know that you have something, then you can't benefit from it. Because we do not know who we are. In Christ Jesus, the devil can play us like a puppet. Because we do not know who we are, we can't stand the right way. We can't speak the right way. If we do not know that, if I don't know that I have the authority that is greater than Elijah, because I have Christ in me. Greater is he that is on the inside of me than that is in the world. The Bible says that the glory of the Lord, the fullness of the glory is in me. So if I know that, I will understand that I was bought with a very expensive price. And I, because Christ is great. What he is, I am. What he has, I have. Because the Bible says that we are joint heirs with Christ. Please stand on your feet this morning. When I listen to anyone now, I filter the words of anybody through the eyes of the scriptures. I'm not taking it for face value. I'm not taking it like, oh, this is a preacher. This is what they said. So therefore, boom, this is a songwriter. This is what they wrote. If it doesn't line up with scripture, it's not going to be said in my mouth. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, if it's putting to shame what Christ did on Calvary, then I cannot be a part of it. Because the Bible lets me know that if I deny that Christ already came, that's the spirit of the Antichrist. Christ came. We're not looking for him to come. He has already come. It says, behold, he comes riding on the, and then salvation. Salvation come? Salvation already came. I have partake. I have partooken, whatever the English is, of salvation already. I am not awaiting salvation. I am not looking for salvation to come. It has already come. And I have been a beneficiary of salvation. I am. You are a benefit of salvation. So we cannot look at our things in the world with natural eyes, but we must look at them with spiritual eyes. I'm sure the person that wrote that song, I'm sure they meant well. I'm sure they didn't. It's not like they just, you know, it was, you know, I mean, they just came up with it. I've written. After I started seeing the scriptures, I write songs. There's some things that I've written. I'm still believing God for who is going to help me publish the songs and help me compose the songs. I'm believing God for somebody who will just come up to me and say, hey, you know, let's work on your project together. I have gone back to my songs and made sure that it's in line with scripture, and I am not having the spirit of the Antichrist in my song by still awaiting the coming Savior. Jesus already came. He came to die for your sins and for my sins. He was wounded, the Bible says. I don't have to be sick. I don't have to do anything. I am already a beneficiary of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Lift up your hands before God. Lord, I thank you. Because your word is yea and it is amen. I thank you because it is now the manifestation of the sons of God. It is the time. These are the days of the manifestations of the sons of God. May it manifest in each and every life in the name of Jesus. May we put the devil to shame by our understanding and revelation of the word of the living God. So shall it be in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and glory.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.